grand slam for Masters.
It's time for Blessed to Play on EWTN Radio, uncovering the role that faith plays in the lives of sports professionals from around the country. And now, here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Fire, score!
My guest today is Taylor Kemp. He plays for DC United of the Major League Soccer. He's a left back. We'll talk about Taylor's career in professional soccer. And what might surprise you is what he's studying nowadays. Taylor, welcome to Blessed to Play.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, this is quite a journey of playing soccer. You grew up in Colorado. And when did you first notice that you had a love for the game and a talent to do what you're doing?
Definitely not until a little bit later in my career. I was someone who grew up and was a late maturer, you could say. So I was always smaller for a while. So it wasn't until my early years in high school that I realized that there might be a chance to play in college. And then it was in college that I realized that pro was a real possibility. But I started playing when I was about five. I had an older sister who played, and so I grew up watching it and loved soccer from a pretty young age.
Well, let's talk about this career starting off in high school. You received NSCAA All-American honors, All-State. So you did quite well, had the accolades, the number two recruit by ESPN Rise magazine, and also an All-American to boot. And then you had to make a decision to where to go to play soccer. And you're heavily recruited, obviously, and you chose to play for the Terps at the University of Maryland. Tell us why.
So, like I said, I had an older sister who played, and she ended up going to Wake Forest and played for their women's team. And so I grew up going to watch her play at Wake, and I would go and watch the Wake Forest men's team play. And they were in the ACC, and I watched them play, I think, Virginia and Duke and Maryland, and the soccer was really good. And so when I was coming to an age where I was being recruited for college, I made a pretty early decision that I only wanted to play in the ACC just because I liked the soccer so much. And so when I did my college visits, I only really ever looked at ACC school. So it came down between Maryland and Wake. I loved Wake because my sister went there, but I wanted to go to a bigger school. And I loved the coach. I loved the team at Maryland. They were a good team. And so in the end, it was a pretty easy decision. And I mean, I loved going there.
Well, I'm sure the transition from high school to Division I soccer is a big jump, but you settled in nicely. You earned All-ACC Freshman Team Selection, a Soccer America All-Freshman First Team Selection. So you made this transition quite well into the ACC. Did your experience perhaps playing for the U.S. National Team pool, under 18, under 20, did that help in the transition?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that kind of stuff just gives you confidence. I mean, I was nervous going to college, and I certainly wasn't expecting to play right away. But obviously did pretty well enough to play. And the transition was tough. I mean, you go from playing with guys in your own age group to college where there is a much bigger range of players and body sizes. And like I said, I was never a big guy, so I was playing against a lot of physically bigger players than myself. But so that took some transitioning, but it honestly wasn't too bad. And I had a lot of really good players around me that helped for sure. So was it a transition? Yes. But certainly manageable.
Well, what a great college career you did have. And during your senior year, you received second team all ACC honors, and, I know you played in the NC2A soccer championships. Any highlights of your career playing for the Maryland Terrapins?
There's a lot. We won a couple ACC championships. Never won a national championship. It's a sore subject. But I would say one of my highlights was from my sophomore year. We were in the Sweet 16, and we were playing Penn State, and I hadn't scored a goal in college yet. And I played quite a few games, so I'd been wanting to score a goal, and I scored right in like the 88th, 89th minute in our Sweet 16 game on a pretty nice volley from outside of the box. And like the euphoria of that, scoring my first goal in the event of the game, and my teammates like mobbed me, and we were at home, so the fans were going nuts. That was definitely a high for me.
So your opportunities to score, you know, they don't come in abundance because you're a left back, you're playing a defender. So when this happens, this is really a time to celebrate, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't handle it all that well. I don't, you know, because I don't score that much, I don't always know what to do. So I kind of make a little bit of a fool of myself sometimes, but it's all in good fun.
Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer. I'm chatting today with Taylor Kemp. He plays for the MLS Major League Soccer for DC United. Well, let's talk about a dream come true. I always talk about this with athletes from other sports, but when they get drafted, this is a big day. And for you, it came on January 17th, 2013. It was the MLS Super Draft. And of course, you're right next to the Beltway there, and you were picked in the first round, 17th overall from DC United, close to Maryland. That had to be happy times for Taylor Kemp and family.
Yeah, it was. It was even a little bit more special because I was hurt for a big portion of my senior year, so I missed about half the season. And so I kind of went into my senior year expecting to be one of the higher draft picks at the end of the year. And then things just didn't go really how all of us were expecting with my year, because I didn't play that much because I was hurt. Mm-hmm. And so when the draft came around, it was a big question about what was going to happen, because, you know, teams can get worried about injuries, and I hadn't been able to, like, showcase as much. So we really weren't sure where I would be drafted, if I would be drafted. And so when DC picked me, I mean, it was not only like a sigh of relief, but it was a dream come true. It was, my family was all relieved. It was a really beautiful day.
Well, you had to pay your dues even at the professional ranks, because you played in the United Soccer League for the Richmond Kickers and had to work your way up to the big club. So talk about that, working hard, dealing with injury, but ultimately coming into your own and making it with DC United.
Yeah. So my first year I was on loan with the Richmond Kickers for a while. Which was frustrating at the time, because you come in and you want to play. Mm-hmm. no matter what, anyone who plays at a high level is competitive and wants to play. And so when I found out that I wouldn't even be with DC for the whole year and that I was going to get sent down, that was kind of tough to swallow at first, but in the end it was good, because you get games and get some experience. But I always certainly believed in myself, that I could play in MLS, and so kind of kept pushing. And then thankfully in 2014 was kind of able to break through after some injuries to some guys in my position, and did well enough to kind of keep the spot. And then slowly over time, more and more cemented myself in that spot, and I certainly got better, got more comfortable, got more experience. So all that helps too.
Yeah, in 2014, you had your first MLS career goal in the club's first ever win in Houston against the Dynamo. And in 2015, a very good season for you. You became one of DC United's most dangerous options, playing out of the back. Your foot is very strong. You're scoring even from there. So you had the MLS goal of the week. But 2015, did you feel you really belonged? This, you know, you solidified yourself a spot on the DC United roster.
Yeah, because like I said, so 2014 was kind of where I got my first string of appearances and started playing well. And then, so when I came into 2015, I had like a newfound confidence. I had affirmed that I was able to play in the league for sure. And I came in wanting to kind of like make that spot mine, because it wasn't solidified by any means. And so with that belief, and then obviously some hard work, was able to really lock that spot down in 2015. And that was a fun year for all of us. We made the playoffs that year, and that was a good year.
Well, I talk about on this show too with athletes, and every athlete has to face it, Taylor, and that is adversity. And for you and for so many, it comes in the form of an injury, and you were sidelined for the remainder of the season. I think this was in 2017. You started 22 of the first 23 games, but you missed the club's final 11 matches. This has to be totally frustrating, because you really can't do anything about it but rehab. But put that in perspective, dealing with injury when you're going so good.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. And any athlete really at any level can connect with it. But, it's tough, and my relationship kind of with my own injuries has certainly changed over time. but you just learn to kind of take it in stride. And then your faith, I mean, my faith, like, very much impacted all of this, and kind of understanding that these things are happening for a reason, that they are for good. And then you can kind of take a step back and see how you may have changed in that time and might not have otherwise. So you can see how, I mean, I certainly can see how God has used my injuries for good. Even though it at times felt like it was for my own bad, my own demise in a way. But nonetheless, I mean, in the day to day, it's tough because you're coming in, you want to play, and you're naturally in a competitive environment, and it can be tough to stay inside, to work out in the gym, to watch other guys, to watch your own friends go out there and play when it's something you've been wanting to do or been doing for a long time. So it's frustrating, but you learn to kind of take it in stride. And I mean, my relationship with my faith completely changed how I dealt with injuries and how I view injuries. And so that's been a real blessing, but they're never easy, that's for sure.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about more about the faith aspect in the second half of the show. You had quite an honor when Bruce Arena invited you to the camp with the U.S. men's national team and a pool of other MLS players. Talk about that experience, but really being one of, considered one of the best in the nation, and really put in a pool to perhaps represent your nation someday on the field of play.
Yeah, that was an incredible honor. That was something, I mean, I had aspired for a little while to be an MLS player. And despite being in some of the youth national team circuits, I honestly had never even really dreamed that much about making it to the full team. I just never thought that was an attainable goal for me. Mm-hmm. And so when that happened, it like blew me away. I was like incredibly happy, humble, excited, nervous. I mean, the whole thing. And I'm really thankful for Bruce for that opportunity and that experience. I mean, it was something I'll never forget. I mean, going into camp with guys that I had, I mean, truly grown up watching and wanting and like loving watching them play and admiring their game and how they did things, and then getting to go into camp with them was really cool. It was a dream fulfilled that I didn't even know I had. So, I mean, it was an incredible opportunity that I will like absolutely never forget.
All right, let's take a break. On the other side, adversity, perseverance, and faith, all hallmarks of this professional soccer player. We're off the pitch with Taylor Kemp. Keep it right here. You're listening to Bless the Play.
Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I just finished talking with Father Joseph Roche, a friend of ours from the Marians of Immaculate Conception. And the book is Fatima, A Pilgrimage with Mary, published by our friends at Marian Press. Tell us, Father Joe, give us an overview of what this book's about.
Well, it's a beautiful picture book, what we call a coffee table book, with some beautiful pictures of the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima. And it tells the story of the apparitions of Our Lady that took place 100 years ago. It tells us about the situation in the world today. And Our Lady is really, in this book, taking us on a pilgrimage, helping us to meet her son Jesus, helping us to recognize that the heart of the world is Jesus and the Eucharist, and that if we open our hearts to him, we can do our part to change the world.
The book is Fatima, A Pilgrimage with Mary by the Marian Press, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. EWTNRC.com is a place you can find it. This has been a Bookmark Brief. Thanks for stopping by.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. And now here's your host, Ron Meyer.
Welcome back to Blessed to Play. Ron Meyer joined today by Taylor Kemp. He's a left back for Major League Soccer's DC United, and if you listen to the first half of the show, what a career he has had, a lot of accolades. Came out of the University of Maryland, played for the Terps, a couple of stints with the U.S. national team under 18, under 20, and now we're going to talk about a transition that's been going on in Taylor's life. He alluded to the fact that it helps him deal with his injuries, has helped him, I should say, in the past, and that is his life of faith. And Taylor, you're a convert to Catholicism, and I believe your wife was a cradle Catholic, and you went through the RCIA program, but somewhere along the line, you got really hooked, didn't you?
Yeah. So I've had quite the journey of faith, as I mean, most people have in one way or the other. But I grew up with not a ton of a faith background. And then I started dating my now wife, Brittany, about almost 10 years ago now. And she was a cradle Catholic, and we had dated for years. And when we were both living in D.C., she had wanted me to start going to Mass with her because she had wanted to get married in the Catholic Church, and her faith had always been an important part of her life. And it wasn't an important part of mine. And I was just of the mindset where I was happy to go with her, but didn't really intend for much to come of it. So I went to Mass with her at St. Peter's on Capitol Hill for about 2 years. And then after those 2 years, she started strongly encouraging me to look at the RCIA program at St. Peter's. And I didn't really want to do it. And she actually signed me up for it without even asking. And then she one day was just like, "Hey, you have RCIA next week." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she was like, "If you don't want to go, you can call the church and tell them you're not going." And I was like, "Okay, fine, I'll go." And I went through that process, and it was absolutely life-changing. Our RCIA program was run by the Dominican Brothers from the Dominican House of Studies out here in D.C., and they do an absolutely phenomenal job. They're, I mean, so holy, so smart. And I had realized that a lot of my issues with the Christian faith were intellectual issues, uh-huh. where I didn't even understand the questions until they kind of brought them up, but they addressed so many things that I didn't even understand were obstacles. And I had never really been faced with the Catholic faith. I had really only ever been exposed to evangelical Protestant denominations, and they had never really, it just wasn't working for me, I guess. I don't know. And so when I went through that, I mean, it absolutely changed my life. And in the months of RCIA, it was kind of like every month I would take some teaching of the church that applied to my life and try for that month to kind of implement it. And in that time, God gave me an incredible amount of grace. He made my conversion very easy in the ways I would try to implement something in my life or change something or whatever. And I had a new level of peace, of comfort, of happiness, of, I was less self-conscious. I was less anxious. And that, I mean, God like literally just walked me along until eventually I was fully initiated into the church at the Easter Vigil in 2016. And then after the Easter Vigil, absolutely was still a practicing Catholic, took my faith seriously, but it certainly dropped off in the way as I wasn't, you know, going to as much as I had been before with RCIA. And I kind of hit a lull in my spiritual life in the summer after my confirmation at Easter. And I kind of thought to myself, well, maybe this is just how it goes. You know, maybe the honeymoon phase is over and the butterflies and the sparks between God and I had kind of faded away. And that's just how faith goes. And after a couple months, I kind of was like, you know what? No, I refuse to believe that there's no way that this God for who I've come to believe he is would let this just be some tepid relationship. And there was one of the Dominicans who led my RCIA was Father Thomas Joseph White. And he wrote an amazing book called The Light of Christ, which is an introduction into Catholic theology. Mm-hmm. And I had talked with him and decided to get his book and was kind of like, you know what, why don't I try to go a little bit further and not just settle for the weekday mass or the Sunday mass and, you know, confession once a month and see if there's a little bit more that I could be doing. And in reading his book, it kind of opened up a whole new world to me. I mean, I started diving into scripture, not only the New Testament, but the Old Testament, and kind of started reading some of the church fathers. And I found like such depths that I could not get to, but I realized were there. And I knew I wanted to get there. And God, again, was so gracious in that every single time I kind of would put a little bit of effort in, he would just pull me along. And I continued to change. Like, I'm a far different person today than I was last year even, and definitely 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, my wife will attest that, my friends, and even my coaches. I mean, really everyone. And so in doing that, I started studying quite a bit more on my own. And one of my best friends, who was my sponsor, a man named Keenan Fitzpatrick back in Denver, and my wife kind of started asking me if I should look into more of a formal education, because it was something I was so interested in, because it was so powerful for me, because it was just something I was so naturally drawn to. And in a very Holy Spirit way, the Augustine Institute, which is an amazing school out of Denver, kind of fell in my lap. And the next day I called them and talked with them, and all of a sudden, like, nothing made more sense to me in the world than to going to school. And I started in January of this year, a master's in theology, through the Augustine Institute online. And I just finished my first semester last week, and it's been a far greater blessing than I could have ever imagined. It's honestly unbelievable. And so that might have been the longer version than what you're looking to.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's going to spark a lot of interesting conversation amongst your teammates going forward here with your newfound faith and also studying theology. Blessed to Play, Ron Meyer chatting with Taylor Kemp, plays for DC United of Major League Soccer. So one thing I want to circle back, and I guess one of the things, you know, you're identified as a soccer player your whole life. Accolades, probably people looking up to you for your athletic ability, but now your identity is kind of changing, right? And do you see yourself in a different light based on all that you just shared about faith and your relationship with God?
Yeah, very much. Completely changed. Really what I guess it boils down to is a profound understanding in that my life is not mine, that my life is a gift, that my life is not something I've necessarily earned. And when I approach my soccer career now, you can look in at why I've had this career, and I had good parents. They had the financial means to put me through with good coaches and bring me up and pay for me to go through all of these things. And I've had a very fortunate life. And I didn't do anything to earn that. I didn't earn my own, you know, birth to my wonderful family and parents. And it was kind of in starting to see that these things that I had were gifts that I had, and they were not earned, and that they were not mine. And that goes to my whole self, that I, you know. And so in doing that, I actually came to love soccer far greater, because I realized that I am doing this and I am here for reasons that are outside of my power. And it's something I certainly participate in, but it's not exactly me. It's just something I do. And that really changed just a lot of things. And that changed how I look at my whole life now today, that I want my life in whatever form God sees fit. I want to make sure that my life is just a giving back of what He's already given me. And if that's in soccer, that's great. And if it's in something else, that's great. And it's not really, I know that my fullest life and happiness lies in His ideas for that, because they're way better than mine. So that's been a really beautiful change in how I've seen myself and my career. And that's, you know, that's continuing to change.
Now, we have a few minutes left here, but the word that comes to mind after hearing what you just conveyed is the word detachment. You might have not had that before, but now that you're playing soccer, you're playing, obviously, it's your profession, highly competitive environment, but you're detached from the game insofar as it's not ruling every moment of your life, it's not your identity, and you're able to compartmentalize and separate your relationship as a professional soccer player and who you are as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Because soccer, a lot of people who have played sports for a long time know, like, it becomes your God. Like, it becomes, you are desperately grasping at the success that comes from sports. And it honestly ate away at me. I mean, I was truly, at times, miserable. Even at my most successful moments in soccer. Because I was so afraid to fail. And I was so desperately trying to succeed, that it just dominated my life, my everyday, my relationships, my choices, my thoughts, my everything. And in understanding that it doesn't have to be that way, it's not meant to be that way, and trusting that God gave me these things for a purpose that is far greater than I can see, that detachment is freedom. I mean, that's what allowed me to love soccer and actually play better than I had before. I didn't get called into the national team until after I had converted and kind of had the beginning seeds of these thoughts. So detachment is, I mean, it's a beautiful way to put my relationship with soccer. I still love soccer and I work extremely hard at it, but I'm fully accepting of wherever that goes. And that plays into my injury, certainly.
Yeah. Taylor, we only have 2 minutes left, but your teammates now, I'm sure they see a change maybe in personality, as you mentioned. Do you get conversation now? Do they come up to you and saying, you know, what's going on? You seem a different person. It seems to be working for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's been going on for a while, for a couple of years now. So it's not exactly new to many of them. And it's been really cool to see how some of the stuff that's gone on in my life is able to impact other people, as other people's lives have impacted me. And so it's been really enjoyable this year to bring it more and more into the locker room. We now have a Bible study going every week with a good group of guys, about 8 of us, all from very different backgrounds. And so that's been really cool. And it's been, I wanted to learn not only for my sake, but I think the faith is so beautiful. God is so beautiful. And I just want to, like, as much as I can, share that. And so already through school that I've been able to do that in small ways with my teammates. And that's been a real blessing and joy to do.
And Taylor, I have to ask you this in our closing moments. Will there be any more red cards in the future for you?
I mean, who knows? I certainly wouldn't rule it out. I hope not. I mean, I've never been a guy that gets a lot of them, but you never know. Accidents happen.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to Taylor, see if he's going to get a red. We'll let him go with a yellow, but if he gets a red, we might have to bring him back on the show to explain. Well, Taylor Kemp has been my guest, plays for the DC United Major League Soccer. What a talented soccer player, professional soccer player, but obviously faith is at his forefront. Taylor, thanks so much. Appreciate the time. I wish all the best for you and your life as it moves forward. And thank you for joining us right here on Blessed to Play.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Blessed to Play fans, check us out on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You could like us on Facebook and hit us up right on Twitter at Blessed to Play. For Taylor Kemp, I'm Ron Meyer, asking you to compete well for the faith in your everyday life.
You've been listening to Blessed to Play with host Ron Meyer on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. If you have a question or comment about today's show, feel free to email us at info@blessedtoplay.com. That's blessed, the number 2, play.com. You can also connect with the show on the web at www.blessedtoplay.com. Again, that's blessed, the number 2, play.com. Join us again next time for Blessed to Play on the EWTN Global Catholic Network.